Galatians chapter 4, Galatians 4, and we'll just be reading here the first 20 verses of this chapter. So Galatians chapter 4, and then beginning our reading at verse number 1. So Paul speaks here. He says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my conditions was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. And we end our reading there when once again, we trust the Lord will bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word to us this morning. Well, brothers and sisters, we are now just a few days away from celebrating Christmas. Now, have you ever stopped to consider how different the world would be if Jesus had never come? If Jesus had never been born, we wonder what kind of chaos we would find ourselves in. Would we even be here? If Christ had not come, if God had left us, in fact, in our sin, if he had judged us fully and completely, that which we deserve, remember, we do not deserve the least of his tender mercies. That's why we're saved by grace. Because the Lord has declared that there is no good in us. And so what would we be experiencing right now if Christ had not come? I couldn't imagine being there in hell dealing with the full judgment of God. But thankfully, Jesus has come. And thankfully, we have a reason to celebrate. You have a reason to celebrate today. Because we do not live in ultimate chaos. There is an answer for sin. God's judgment and wrath has been appeased through Christ. He has come to pay the penalty for your sins. You are made right with God even today. Hallelujah. And so we give praise to God even for Christmas. We give praise that God was manifested in the flesh even for you and for me. That His name is Jesus. For He is the one who saves His people from their sins. And so as we come and we focus upon His Word, we celebrate ultimately, because here we are receiving the revelation of God who's declared the good news of the gospel even to us, that we might by grace through His Spirit receive that good news and rejoice in God. And as we come here to Galatians chapter 4, and we consider ultimately verses 4 and 5, it says, when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God enters into time and space to be made of real flesh and blood, without sin, in order that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. That same curse that we willfully brought upon ourselves, that condemns us for eternity, it is He who came to deal with that sin. Christ's humanity is vital for you and for me. It was through the humanity of Jesus that God saved us, taking away our sins, nailing them to His cross. Remember, God cannot die. And so in order for Him to take our place, He had to become real flesh, real humanity, even for us. And I would like you to think about this for a moment. Jesus became a man for you, so that He might die for you and destroy the one who had the power of death over you, even the devil, that He might restore you fully and completely to your Father. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, born to set His people free from the death to life. That's what He has done. He has given us the fullness of life. And so this morning, I would like us to consider then ultimately the importance of Christmas, the importance of the birth of Jesus Christ. We don't live in chaos today. We live in a world that is directed by the sovereign providence of God. God working, continuing to work. And we are the ones who receive that blessing of God working in us, even by His Spirit, to bring us to His Son. But as we just think about these verses this morning here in Galatians chapter 4, there's three points I'd like to highlight for you. And the first point is, your life has value. That's what this shows. God values you. God values you. Second, Christ came then in the fullness of time, ultimately to release us from the bondage of sin. But He came in the fullness of time. And then third, Christ came to redeem and adopt you. That's what He did. He came to redeem and to adopt you, to make you His child. And so we see now the first point. Why would God send forth His Son? Why would He send forth His Son? To show that your life has value. God values you. Remember, Jesus came to minister to you because He identifies with you fully and completely. So verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Christ came to show that you are important to Him, that you are not to be lost. Even though the judgment of sin has come, and we cannot free ourselves from that yet, Christ came to show you that He values you, and He values you, and He says and declares that you're important. In fact, we can say all human life has value. I mean, we came into being by a direct act of God. We're not the product of naturalistic or theistic evolution or any type of evolutionary process. We are created by our Heavenly Father. We are God's handiwork. That's what you are, God's handiwork. Psalm 139, for you formed me and formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the psalmist said. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I'm fearfully, we are all fearfully, wonderfully made. And Paul told us in Acts 17, he himself gives to all man life and breath and everything. He gave to us life and breath and all things. We shouldn't look at life itself to see whether or not it has value. We look to the Creator God who declares that our life has value. It is God who tells you, indeed, that you are important to Him, and He shows that by sending forth His Son, even for you. When God created you, He made you a living soul possessing both physical and spiritual life. And only a man does the Lord give that breath of life, a spirit as well as a body. The Lord places a very high value on all of us, not just physical, but spiritual. The Lord has moved and was moved to preserve your life. Hence, in the fullness of time, sending forth His Son Jesus. As Jesus went from the manger to the cross, because remember, He did not remain a babe in Bethlehem, but He came for a purpose. And that purpose was to go to Calvary's cross to die for the sins of God's people. To pay the penalty of your sin. And He gave His Son Jesus on that cross so that you would not die in agony and torment. As Peter tells us in his epistle, 1 Peter 2:24, that He Himself, that Jesus Himself, bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. There is ultimate healing in Jesus. There is ultimate life in Jesus. In fact, the disciples, they said, when Jesus asked them if they were going to depart or leave Him, and they said, where else can we go? You only have the words of eternal life. You are the only source of life, and we cannot help but come to You. May we come to Him and recognize that He values us, that He values you, and that we have value as His image bearer. We bear His image. Even though this image is marred by sin, the Lord still places that high value on us as an image bearer. And the concept of sanctity of life is a spiritual concept. The word sanctity comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy or sacred to God. All life sacred to God. Even in the world today, when you go to places where Christianity is not prominent, life, unfortunately, is not very prominent. Where Christianity is prominent, we take His command seriously and know that we shall not murder any other person. We preserve life. But there are places in this world today that you wouldn't dare go visit, let alone want to live there, because you'd be in fear for your life, of someone coming to take your life and thinking nothing of it. But we know, we recognize, to lift a hand or a knife or a gun or even a sterilized scalpel against the image of God is striking against God Himself. We are to preserve life. We see that life is valuable. Others are valuable. I mean, that's why we share the gospel with others. We don't write anyone off. Christ has called us to represent Him in this world, to declare His way of life. As Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And ultimately, the Lord's judgment rests on those who mar God's image by taking away another's life. And that's why we stand against abortion, and we know that. We stand against euthanasia, even as it's going through our parliament now, and they're looking to enhance the laws for euthanasia, and it's distressing to see that. Euthanasia should not be another treatment that we can offer people when they're sick, but rather we should do all that we can within our power to preserve life, to help people, even at their lowest. Because it is the Lord who gives life, and it is the Lord in His perfect time who takes it away. We don't play God to take away life. We leave that to the Lord Himself. And so we are not to act as God and decide who lives and who dies at any time. Our calling as Christians is to promote and protect human life as it is highly valuable to God, our Creator. And so Christmas is important. Christmas is important because when God sent forth His Son, remember, He declares, your life has value, and I'm sending my Son for you in the fullness of that time. But notice second here, this is my second point. Christ came in the fullness of time ultimately to free you from the bondage of your sin. To free you from the bondage of your sin. The expression, the fullness of time here, refers to that time when the world was providentially ready for the birth of Christ. Remember, the birth of Christ was not some random event that just happened. Rather, it's an appointment that was directed and fully under the control of God in the determinate counsel of His will and purpose that Jesus would come exactly when He came. That God was preparing the Roman world for the arrival of His Son. During that time, Roman laws protected the rights of citizens. Roman soldiers guarded the peace. In fact, they had the Pax Romana, which created stability in society. Stability in Israel at that time. And thanks both to the Greek and Roman conquest, Latin and Greek were known across the empire. They had one language. And so when it came time to share the gospel and Paul went out and started churches, there was stability across the empire. And he was able to start those churches and everyone spoke one language and they could understand the truth. Christ's birth in Bethlehem was not an accident. Remember, an appointment. In the fullness of time, in the time that it was prepared, in the time when it was ready for Jesus. And of course, it's worth noting that He will come again also in the fullness of time. And we look forward to that, when Jesus will come again and bring us home to glory, or when we go to be with Him before He comes. Paul is careful to point out the dual nature of Christ. He is both God and man. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, the second person of the Trinity. He is fully God, born of a woman, born under the law. And so He declares the dual nature of Christ, His human nature, born of a woman, and His deity, God sending forth His Son. And of course, this is important for us as well, as I've been touching upon. That we recognize that God cannot die. In order for the Lord to pay the penalty of your sins, He had to be made real flesh in order to represent us real humanity. And He did so, identifying with us fully and completely. And so we have this one who came for us. And why did He come? In the context here, he says, I mean that the heir is no... Verse 1, so chapter 4, verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is owner of everything. Under guardians, managers, until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, separated from God. So enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, enslaved, we were bound. We had no understanding of God. And so the meaning of the basic principles here, these elements, the ABCs, our natural understanding was darkened. We were without spiritual understanding of truth. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And so why is that? Because we were bound and we were slaves to Satan and his will. We could not free ourselves from this. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them who are under the law, to make us adoption of children. So God coming to free us when we were bound and we could not free ourselves. And by his perfect life and death, he made us then those who belong to him. He transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But that means that we needed this Redeemer. I mean, who is the only Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, our catechism tells us. Being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. Remember, he fully shares your humanity, being born of the Virgin Mary, identifying with you. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows you completely. He knows your sin. You can't hide that from him. There's no escaping even the judgment that he has upon sin. We can't fool around with God. He knows us. He knows you. But in his humility, we have one who is close to us, not distant, not unreachable, not unknowable, as so many in the world want us to believe, that God is out there somewhere and he's not concerned about you. Well, he is. He is concerned about you. You have a close, reachable, knowable friend named Christ, named Jesus, the one who is not far, but came down into this world to free you from the bondage of your sin. And he did so fully and completely. That's why our salvation is by grace. He came in the fullness of time. You are free today. And then notice third, Christ came to redeem and adopt you. That's what he did. Ultimately, he came to redeem and to adopt you. Paul has told us who came, God's Son. He told us when he came in the fullness of time, how he came, right? Born of a woman. Now he explains why, to redeem those who are under the law so that they might receive adoption as sons. And we recognize and know that the word redeem means to set free by paying a price. A slave could not be freed without the payment of money. You are bound. Someone had to come and pay your price to set you free. And so we think of the time period in which Paul is operating here in the Roman world. There were slaves. There were millions of slaves, and they were bound to their masters, and they could never just walk away. But if one came along and paid the price of their redemption to set them free, then indeed they could break that bond, and they could be free, and then they could live however they wanted to live. But here, Christ came to redeem us. And what was the price that was paid? It was Calvary's cross. It was shedding of blood. It was turning away the wrath of God that was upon us. And so we see Christ then paying that price that was necessary. We see the power of God in sending his Son into this present evil world indeed to save us. He did not purchase us to make us slaves to a tyrant, to be sons, children of God. Under law, the Jews were mere children, but under grace, the believer is a son of God with a standing in God's family. That's what you are. You have standing in the family of the Lord. He redeemed you. Peter tells us in his epistle, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like of a lamb without blemish and spot. And so not redeemed by money or resources or anything material, not redeemed with religion or outward profession, not redeemed by anything of this world, but only through the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish and spot. Slaves set free, slaves set free. And all the resources of God given to that redemption salvation. I'm just reminded by this as I came across a story about a pilot who was involved in a conflict. He was flying an F-16 fighter jet, and that jet had been shot down over enemy territory. They thought that he had been killed or captured, maybe even seriously injured, but they found out and recognized that he was still alive and that they could, in fact, go and save him and rescue him. And so what did they do? Immediately, all the resources that were needed for a daring rescue was set in motion, and this pilot was snatched up by a helicopter. They were able to locate him. He had a locator on him, so they located him, even on the enemy, in enemy territory, and pulled him out. In fact, one magazine, Newsweek magazine, reported that the weapons and machinery used to rescue that one pilot were valued at $6 billion. $6 billion. All the high-tech equipment and everything that was involved in rescuing that pilot. And they valued that pilot so much that it didn't matter. They were going to do everything they could to rescue that man. I mean, we think of God. He's the one who fills heaven and earth, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. I mean, you think of the resources at his disposal. And here he is. He values you. He values your soul and whatever it takes to redeem you. And he didn't send an army to come. He didn't send an army of angels to pull you out. He came into enemy territory. But what did God do? He sent his son. He sent his son. In essence, he came himself as Christ is a member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God sent forth his son, not an army of angels, not an army from humanity or anyone else could even do the job, but he came himself to pull you back, to pull you out, to save and redeem you. How important you are to him. $6 billion. I mean, we think that's a lot of money. Couldn't imagine that amount of money. But the price that was paid, infinite value. Infinite value. The blood of Christ that was shed to cleanse, to take away your sin, to restore you to God. Truly, we are redeemed by a great and glorious God. And then he makes us adopted children. Our catechism says, in terms of adoption, that is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. And so we came into this world born in sin, shapen in iniquity. I mean, that's what David's confession was, and that's our confession too. But it is the Lord who took us from that tree of sin. And I just touched on that recently. Remember, we were bound in that tree of sin and he cut us off. Right? The Lord took us as a branch and he brought us into Christ. Romans chapter 11 speaks there of how we're grafted in, placed in Christ. We didn't start out, and a branch cannot pull itself out of one tree and put itself in another. And so someone has to come and cut that branch out of here and take it over and put it into there. And we have a great vine that we've been grafted into. We are the branches, the vine of Jesus Christ. His life we receive fully and completely. And by grace, he has given us these rights and privileges as being the children of God. You who are parents here today, I see several parents. You know, you think nothing of your children coming into your house and sitting at your table and you're there, I want to provide for you. In fact, you're not happy when one of your children's missing. You know, you've set a nice dinner for them. Where is Joey? Sorry, I'm just going to use Joey as an example. I'm sure Debbie always loves to see you, Joey. You can't miss dinner. But where's Joey? Where's that child? You know, they should be here. I'm concerned. My mind is upon them. I'm fixed upon them. Because in your own heart and mind, you want to care for them. You want to protect them. You want to provide for them. And you become very upset, worried, and concerned when they're not where they should be. I sent them off to school this morning. Well, how come they're late coming back? Where is my child? Where is my child? How much more you are under the care of your heavenly Father who is watching over you to such a degree. Where is my child? I'm protecting my child. I'm providing for my child. I want to make sure that my child is in the place where they should be. None will be missing from his table. You will not be missing from his table when you have full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He will make sure that you're going to be there, and he's going to make sure that he's going to care and provide for you because you're a part of the family. Those who are a part of your family, you care for. How much more your Heavenly Father is concerned and caring for you. So much so, he's in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son, caring for you, protecting you, looking after you, providing for you, born of a virgin, there for you, providing for you, to redeem you, to make sure that you are there in the family as an adopted child, grafted in, a part of his vine, receiving his life, possessing his spirit, and having everything that you need in order to thrive as a Christian, even in a fallen world. He'll give it to you. May we come to him with full expectation. Your children come to you. And when they're hungry, you don't turn them away and say, nope. Now, sometimes they want too much, and you have to say, no, you have to wait till supper time. It's no snacking. But nevertheless, a meal is coming, right? You expect to have supper when supper comes. And your parents are going to do that for you because they love you and want to provide for you. We come with expectation, do we not? When I come to pray and I seek his face, Lord, give me faith when I lack that faith. Help me to have the confidence when I'm lacking that confidence, knowing that you answer me in Christ. You answer me in Christ. I mean, we've just gone through a series in prayer. Remind yourself how important you are to God. God values you. And so he hears you when you speak to him. When you seek him, he reveals himself to you. He is found. And how much more he is willing to give good gifts to his children like we give good gifts to our children, even the Holy Spirit, so that we might live holy lives to him. You are important. And so consider how different this world will be if Jesus never came, if Jesus was not born, if God had just left us in our sin. How devastating that would be. How devastating that would be. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. That's why Christmas is important. He shows that he values you. He came in the fullness of time to free you from your bondage. And he does that. He came to redeem and adopt you. And so we're not to fall back into this world. How does he end this section here? And I end it this way as well. He redeems us. We receive the adoption as sons. And because you're sons, verse 6, because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. And what are you able to do? You cry out, Abba, Father, my Father, the one who's precious to me. I'm in a relationship with this Father through Christ. I can come and I can cry out to him. So you are no longer a slave, remember that, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God, even in Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs with God through Christ. By grace, we're saved. By grace, we know him. And by grace, we will continue to know his care, his provision, and his protection. Come to him with that expectation. He will provide for you. Hence, Christmas is then very important. The birth of Christ is very important. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you for your word. We thank you that you did not leave us in our sin and despair without hope. But you sent forth your Son. You gave us Jesus, a Redeemer, a Savior. God Himself manifested for us. Father, we're thankful that even in ourselves, we know that we have no strength, no ability. We can't come to you. Slaves bound. But Father, thank you for releasing us. Thank you for taking us out of that pit of sin, of that miry clay. You set our feet upon a rock. You established our going, established in Christ. Lord, thank you that you value us. There are times when we look at ourselves and we don't value ourselves. But even nevertheless, you value us. You showed your love for us while yet sinners. Christ died for us and freeing us from the bondage of sin. Thank you for coming, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming for us. Thank you for redeeming and saving us. Thank you for making us your children. May you continue to sustain us as our vine. We are the branches. Lord, give us life. A branch cannot do anything of itself unless it's attached to the vine. Even without Christ, we can do nothing. But we're thankful that in Christ, we can do all things. And Father, we give our praise to you because of the hope that you give to us, the faith that you give to us. And so may we then truly be able to celebrate the birth of Christ. May we continue to have true faith in Him. May we rest in Him alone and continue to be with your people, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.